The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, what a way to kick off the NFL season. The Detroit Lions went right into Kansas City and took out the defending champions 21-20, in my personal opinion. I mean, I still don't believe in Detroit. You have to prove it for me to actually believe in you. And this is a good start. This is an excellent start. This is a big win for them. Don't get me wrong. Big win for Detroit. But in my personal opinion, judging from last night's game, it was mostly Kansas City just choked hard, and they just gave the game away. I mean, Patrick Mahomes pretty much did everything he could last night to attempt to win this game, and all of his receivers were just dropping balls like they were little teenagers. It was just insane to see all the drop passes that they had last night. I mean, there were multiple times where they should have had first downs, touchdowns. They could have had a lot more points on the board had their receivers, and hell, even running backs, actually caught the fucking ball in the second half. I mean, the first half, they didn't look too terrible, but the second half, the Chiefs just completely disappeared. And like I said, I feel like the Chiefs choked it away more than the Lions won it. But you can't take much away from the Lions, though. There were two key plays in last night's game that involved the Detroit Lions that I think really just pushed them over the edge in this game. The first play being I believe it was their second possession in the first quarter. It was fourth and two, or fourth and one-ish, something like that. It was a short fourth down, and the Detroit Lions, instead of punting it, and they were pretty far back into Kansas City territory as well. I think they were at like the 17-yard line, something like that. So you don't usually go for it, but they actually ended up running a fake punt, getting the first down on that, and then they would ultimately go on and score a touchdown. So that is 7 points right there. And then the other big play was obviously the interception by Brian Branch, who not only got the interception, but ran it back for a touchdown. So that's 14 points right there on two big plays by the Detroit Lions. So they definitely played well, and their offensive line just looks amazing as well. So there was that, but I mean, the Chiefs just really gave it away. Obviously, the loss of Travis Kelce right before, basically earlier in the week, it was he hyperextended his knee in practice, and it was just basically he's probably not going to play right before the game starts. He's not going to play, and so I kind of feel like that threw a wrench into their entire game plan, and just their receivers are just not as effective as him. And that's kind of always been my thing with the Kansas City Chiefs, actually. When they traded away Tyreek Hill, which I understood why they traded him away, but also at the same time, even though Patrick Mahomes is an excellent quarterback, he can't do it all. That's why it's a team sport. That's why individuals don't win Super Bowls. It's an actual entire team. And, you know, he had nobody catching anything last night. And if he actually had one receiver, one reliable receiver who just would make a couple of plays, the Chiefs probably would have won. But and then also, something else that I found amusing last night, too, on the right side, I can't remember who the offensive lineman is. I believe they just picked him up in the offseason. But I believe it was the tackle as well. The right tackle, this guy was false starting like no other. And it was lucky for him because the refs were not calling it. But I saw him false start at least four times that did not get called. So that could end up being a problem for the Chiefs if the season goes on. Now, this is just week one. So, I mean, you can really just take all of these games with a grain of salt. I mean, yes, some of them, I've always felt, like I just said with the Chiefs, that once they got rid of Tyreek Hill, they were going to need to do something else at the wide receiver position. They did not address it in this offseason, so we'll see if that ends up being an issue for them throughout the entire year. And then, you know, like I said, with the Lions, they got to prove it for me to believe in them, but that was a huge win for them. And then speaking of Mahomes, he had a solid night, went 21 for 39, 226 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. But we'll see if this is how the season ends up going for both the Lions and the Chiefs. But like I said, it's week one. You never know what the hell's going to happen in week one. But that was a great way to start the season off. And the Detroit Lions absolutely rained on the parade of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, good for them, because I even was questioning why the hell are we going to have the Detroit Lions game one of the season against the Kansas City Chiefs. And hey, they not only made it a game, they won the game, and they should have won that game. Like I said, I feel like the Chiefs gave it away, but the Lions still played great football, and that was a great way to start the season. So let's get into the rest of the week one matchups here that we'll have on Sunday. Also, I want to make note as well that if you've been paying attention to the podcast over the last couple of years, me and my friend Simon Ruvalcaba, who also has a sports podcast that he hosts, Sports View with Simon Ruvalcaba, well, we are still going to continue to do our picks against each other every week. We weren't able to record a segment this week on his show, so he has given me all his picks. And so when I do my predictions, I'm going to also do Simon's predictions as well along the way. We both picked the Kansas City Chiefs last night. I had the Chiefs winning 35-10. Obviously, I was wrong about that, and he had the Chiefs winning a much closer matchup, 27-20. So both of us started the season off with a loss. I would also like to mention I am the two-time defending champ of this of the 2 years that Simon and I have been doing this. I am the champ both years in a row, so we'll see if he's able to finally get a win this year, although he did win my fantasy football league last year, so he did get a win as well. And he's actually won that league now 3 times. It's been a minute since prior to last season, but hey, you win in my league 3 times, that says a lot, because it's a very competitive league. But in our head-to-head matchups, I've been kicking his ass every single year, so we'll see what happens this season, if he's able to finally get the win. But we both picked the Chiefs last night, and we both were wrong. So let's see how the rest of the weekend is going to turn out. So let's begin with Simon's Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Atlanta Falcons are a 3.5-point favorite. And by the way, I did get print these spreads out earlier in the week, so it's possible that the points matchups could be slightly different in Vegas as far as today goes, but hey, it's not really that big of a deal to me. If you're a big gambler, you will figure it out on your own. You should not be coming to me for your gambling advice. That is for damn sure. But anyways, so right now the Atlanta Falcons are a 3.5-point favorite, and I actually do expect this to be a pretty good game. I mean, like I said, it's week one, so anything can happen. We have no idea what's going to happen with any of these teams, but this is a division matchup as well. Both of these teams are basically coming in with clean slates, and they are just two fresh out the gate teams with a lot of young talent, and they've got a lot of things to put together. And then it's also a division rivalry. So this one's pretty much a coin toss to me. I'm really only picking the Atlanta Falcons to win this one 21-17. Just because they're at home. That's really it. If you'll recall, last year, actually, both the Panthers and the Falcons, they had some really excellent matchups last season that came down to basically like the last plays of the game. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's how this one ends up. And, of course, Simon's pick, he's going with his Carolina Panthers. Good for him. I'm glad he's doing that, because also, if you don't know, I never pick against my Cowboys, even if the Cowboys are shitty, which if you've listened, you know I picked them for the Super Bowl, so I'm absolutely picking them every game this year, but I never pick against my Cowboys. He sometimes will pick against his Panthers, but not usually. He went with his Panthers this week over the Falcons 27-24, and I actually would not be shocked to see the Panthers win. Like I said, the only reason why I'm leaning towards the Falcons is because they're at home. Then the next matchup we have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the Bengals are a 2.5-point favorite. Joe Burrow is now officially the highest-paid quarterback in the league. I believe I read he's going to be earning $55 million a year, something insane, of course. But, you know, Justin Herbert, about a month ago, he was the highest-paid player in the league, or paid player in the league. And now it is Joe Burrow, so he is locked in as the Bengals quarterback for the foreseeable future. And then you have the Cleveland Browns, who actually, I mean, this is a division matchup, so they usually play each other well. You really don't know what's going to happen in these matchups. But I'm going with the Bengals in this matchup just because I think they are the better team. I think Cleveland's going to have their struggles throughout the season. So I have the Bengals winning this one 24-14. This is going to be the first disagreement between Simon and I this week. Simon actually has the Cleveland Browns winning 20-12. I imagine he's just kind of thinking this is a division matchup. And usually Cleveland is actually has had Cincinnati's number over the last couple of seasons. So we'll see what happens with that matchup, but I've got the Bengals and he has the Browns. Then we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Jaguars are a 4.5-point favorite. I feel like the Jaguars are going to dominate this division, and I just feel like the Colts are going to have their growing pains all throughout. They are starting a rookie quarterback in Anthony Richardson. I don't expect him to have like an amazing season this year, but I do think he's a good pick, and he's going to definitely be the future at quarterback for them. But he's definitely going to have his struggles, and then all this Jonathan Taylor drama. You know, he's not going to be playing. I don't know when he's going to be playing, but he's having issues with his contract with the Colts. So it's just been a crazy season, off season for the Colts. So I just don't really expect to see them as a good team. Whereas I feel like the Jaguars are just going to excel and become a better team and build off of what they did last season. And I think they're going to get better. And I think they're going to dominate the Colts in this game 28-7. And Simon also has the Jaguars in this one. He's got them dominating as well, 34-17. Then we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 6.5-point favorite. Of course, Tampa no longer has Tom Brady as quarterback, so I have a feeling they are going to have their struggles this season. Baker Mayfield is going to be their starting quarterback, and, you know, he's never really been that consistent, so I just kind of feel like this team, they don't have a lot going on offensively. The offensive line is just terrible. They don't really have anything going on at running back. They do have two solid wide receivers, but outside of that, it's a crapshoot for them on the offensive side of the ball. Whereas the Vikings, I do think the Vikings are just going to be the Vikings. You know, they did lose a few defenders in the offseason, and then, of course, they lost Dalvin Cook as well, but I really don't think the Dalvin Cook loss is that big of a deal because he spent a lot of his time injured. So I kind of feel like they're fine with what they've got on offense. It's just going to be questionable on defense, but lucky for them, they are playing the Buccaneers this week, and so I expect the Vikings to win this one big, 27-10, and Simon also has the Vikings winning this one 20-10. Then we have the Tennessee Titans at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Saints are a 3.5-point favorite. The Saints are a completely different team now that they have Derek Carr as their quarterback. Giving him a new chance. I feel like that was their missing link was a solid quarterback. So I think he just kind of breathes new life in this team. And I think the Saints are going to be pretty decent this year. Whereas the Titans, I just think they're going to be a middle of the road team that just kind of hangs around. I don't think they're going to be a terrible team, but I also don't think they're going to really be that good of a team. And like I said, I feel like these two teams are going in completely opposite directions. I think the Saints are just going to be a better team. They're going to have, I feel like they're a playoff bound team, as a matter of fact. And the Titans, I just completely question everything they're about. So I have the Saints winning this one 21-13. And Simon also has the Saints winning this one 27-9. Then we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Niners are a 2.5-point favorite. We do know who their starting quarterback is going to be this season. It's Brock Purdy, hands down. So we'll see what happens with this team when they actually have a real legitimate quarterback at the start of the season. Is it going to be a good thing? You know, Nick Bosa, he just signed his big contract, so he's going to be playing in this game. George Kittle is coming off of an injury. He's questionable for this game, so I think that could be a big deal if he doesn't play. But the Niners have a ton of weapons, whereas the Pittsburgh Steelers, offensively, there are nothing but question marks, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to be a good team at all. I think they're going to be a middle of the road team like they've been for the most part. They don't have anything going on at wide receiver. Their offensive line is pretty terrible. And there's just lots of questions offensively. Defensively, the Steelers are the Steelers. But, I mean, you need more than just defense to win. You actually need to score some points. And I think that's going to be a struggle for the Steelers. Whereas the Niners, I don't think they're going to have any issues scoring. And I think the Niners are going to roll in this one 28-10. But this is another disagreement between Simon and I. Simon has the Steelers winning a close one 26-21. I'm not quite sure his reasoning, probably just because the Steelers are at home and, you know, the Niners are traveling to the East Coast. That sometimes plays a factor into things, but he's going with the Steelers in an upset this weekend. Then we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Commanders are a 7.5-point favorite. The Cardinals are a pretty terrible team. Kyler Murray is already going to start the season off on the PUP. So he's definitely going to miss the first month of the season. I don't think it matters anyways because I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. This team is, they've got a new coach and they really don't have much going on. They don't have a lot of playmakers. They don't have a lot to talk about on this team. But then also you turn to the Commanders and for some reason, a lot of people are kind of banking on this team, but I don't think the Commanders even have much going on as well. So I think it's going to be a struggle for both teams throughout the season, but since Washington's at home, I'm going with Washington in this one in a close, low-scoring piece of crap matchup where I have the Washington Commanders winning 14-13. And Simon also has the Washington Commanders winning 27-17. And then the final morning game is the Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 9.5-point favorite. And, you know, the Ravens, you know, they're coming into the season. Lamar Jackson has his new contract, so he should be pretty happy with that. And the Texans, they're doing what the Texans do. Always go. The Texans feel like they're always in rebuilding mode, so that's where they are right now. They have C.J. Stroud at quarterback, so who the hell knows what's going to happen there? They got a new coach, so who the hell knows what's going to happen there? They don't have a lot of playmakers, so there really isn't anything good to say about them. And the Ravens are known, especially under Harbaugh as their coach, to just really open it up week one. And so I actually feel like this is going to be the big ass-kicking of the week. I've got the Baltimore Ravens winning this one 42-10. And Simon also has the Baltimore Ravens winning this one 23-13. Moving on to the afternoon games, we have the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Bears are a 1.5-point favorite. That's probably the first time in a while that the Bears have been favored over the Packers because, as we know, Aaron Rodgers owned the Bears. But now that Aaron Rodgers has been traded away and he's officially moved to the AFC, the Chicago Bears no longer have to see Aaron Rodgers twice a year. Now they get Jordan Love. And I don't think Jordan Love is going to be that great of a quarterback. And so I feel like the Packers are going to have their struggles throughout the season. And I do think the Bears are going to have their growing pains as well. But I think they improved and got some weapons for Justin Fields. So I think they're going to have a pretty decent season. Not like mind-blowing, but I think they're definitely going to be at least competitive. And probably get some good wins here. And I do think they're going to get a good win this weekend. I think the Bears are going to beat the Packers 17-7. And Simon also has the Bears winning 24-21. Then next matchup is the Las Vegas Raiders at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 4.5-point favorite. You know, both of these teams, Broncos are coming in with a brand new coach in Sean Payton. I feel like he's going to absolutely turn this organization around and get them headed back in the right track. Las Vegas, still tons of questions as always. Jimmy Garoppolo is their new starting quarterback. I like Jimmy G. I think he's a good quarterback when he's healthy, also fine as hell. There's always questions surrounding him, whether he's going to be healthy. And he already started the offseason with a foot injury that had his season in doubt. And we'll see what happens with him. But even beyond him, the Raiders really don't have a lot going on. They don't have a lot of weapons outside of Josh Jacobs. Well, I mean, they do have Devontae Adams, so what am I talking about? He's the best receiver in the league, hands down. But, I mean, defensively, there's tons of question marks, and it's just this team is, until they get on track, you really can't believe in them. Denver, they had a terrible year last year, but I do think Sean Payton's going to get them on track, get them pointed in the right direction. I don't know if they're a legit contender just yet, but I do think this is going to be a solid win for them. I've got the Broncos winning 20-17, and Simon has the Broncos winning a close one, 28-27. Then the Philadelphia Eagles are at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite. So in the Bill Belichick era, it is not typical for the Patriots, especially at home, to not be favored in any way, shape, or form. And here we are. They have to start off the season against the defending NFC champs. The Eagles are coming off of the Super Bowl loss, so will they suffer a Super Bowl hangover? Who knows? New England, though, they are a terrible-ass team when you look at this roster. I think this is going to be a long season for the Patriots, and who knows how much longer we're going to see Bill Belichick as the Patriots coach, but I don't think this is going to be a good season at all for the Patriots. And the Eagles, you know, they got better in the offseason. They added to this team. I do think defensively that's going to be their issue because their defense is getting up there in age. But offensively, they've got an extreme amount of talent. I don't expect this game to be a runaway. I do expect New England's defense to keep them in it. But I've got the Eagles winning this one 23-16. And Simon also has the Eagles winning this one 23-17. Then we have the Miami Dolphins at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite. I kind of feel like the Chargers are going to be that team that finally takes the next step, moves it to the next level. Justin Herbert, and they have to. If they don't, they got to get rid of their coach. I mean, they are the Chargers. They're known for being that team with high expectations and then just completely blowing it. But they have to do something this year because they are a good team. They have a lot of good playmakers. They have a solid quarterback. It's just their coach makes really stupid decisions in critical moments. So we'll see if that's an issue for them this year. The Dolphins, though, I don't believe in them at all. I don't think Tua's that good of a quarterback, injured or not injured. I just don't believe in the dude. And I just don't think the Dolphins are going to be that good of a team. So I actually have the Chargers opening a can of whoop-ass this weekend, 31-17. Simon also has the Chargers winning 23-14. And then the last afternoon game is the Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 5.5-point favorite. This is usually a really good matchup. Usually, the Rams versus Seahawks, it's one of those like really weird matchups that tends to go into overtime or just has one of those really crazy walk-off wins. And I wouldn't be shocked if we see that in this game. For some reason, a lot of people are banking on Seattle this year. I'm personally not. I kind of feel like they're going to regress from what they did last year. The Rams, there's a lot of questions about them. They still have the offensive line questions, but they still have a lot of talent. Now, Cooper Kupp and his injury, it sounds like it could be something that keeps him out for a little bit of time period here. So we'll see if that affects them. But overall, I still think the Rams are a talented team. And I do think the Rams are going to eke this one out. I do think it's going to be a typical Rams versus Seahawks matchup where it's like really close and it's going to be a walk-off win. And I have the Rams winning this one 20-13. And it looks like Simon has the same thought process as I do because he thinks this one's going to go into overtime. And he also has the Rams winning this one in overtime 20-17. Then the Sunday night game is the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. Right now, the Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. As I've stated before, I never pick against the Cowboys. But even so, Dak Prescott has beat the Giants the last 10 times he's faced them. He's actually 10-1 against the Giants, so he is known for kicking their ass. I don't think the Giants are going to be a good team at all this year. There's a lot of questions about them. And I just think the Cowboys are going to start the season off with a bang and actually have a good game. And I think they're going to win this one handedly, 31-20. And Simon also has the Cowboys winning this one 23-20. And I usually save the Monday Night Football matchup for Monday, and I will still talk about it on Monday's show. But since I am doing the rundown between Simon and I, our head-to-head matchups, I'm going to go ahead and let you know our picks for Monday night. The Monday night matchup is the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. So the debut of Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, it's a division matchup. Two really solid teams. The Jets have a lot to prove. So I expect it to be a close matchup. And I have the Buffalo Bills winning a really close one, 28-27. And this is another disagreement between Simon and I. He actually has the Jets winning this one, 31-28. So there are four games we disagree on this week. So we'll see what happens there. But it's great to have some football back. And great to talk about some football. But let's get to the week that was baseball. On Monday, the Minnesota Twins recently in the last couple of weeks, they called up minor leaguer Royce Lewis, who was once the first overall pick in the draft a couple seasons ago for the Twins. And he's unfortunately had a couple of ACL injuries that have just taken him out for the last couple of seasons. But now he has finally gotten his moment, and he is shining. In his eight games so far, he has hit three grand slams. And they've been game-changing grand slams, by the way. He hit one on Monday night against the Cleveland Guardians in an ass-whooping, a 20-6 win over the Cleveland Guardians for the Minnesota Twins. So Royce Lewis is making a name for himself already. Then on Tuesday night, Jose Altuve, he came back in for the Houston Astros. He took a few games off from injury, but came back. And on Tuesday, in his first three at-bats, he had three home runs in a 14-1 win over the Texas Rangers, who are just continuing to spiral. But Altuve is just adding to his stellar resume. And then on Wednesday, the Yankees haven't had a lot to brag about this season, but they do have something to brag about in a one of their prospects, who they also called up from the minors, Jason Dominguez, known as the Martian. That's his nickname. But in his first five games since he's been called up, he has gone 7-for-21, five runs, a double, three home runs, and five RBI. He actually had three hits in Wednesday night's game, 4-3 win over the Detroit Tigers, which continued the Yankees' five-game winning streak, even though I feel like it's much, much too late for the Yankees right now. But hey, good for them. It looks like they have a future prospect who could maybe help them out next season. So let's get to the playoff outlook right now in baseball, which does not include the Yankees. Shocker, but it does not. And I don't think it's going to at this point, because now we are getting down to the nitty gritty. Right now, the American League East, Baltimore Orioles still holding it down. They've got a four-game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. In the American League Central, the Minnesota Twins keep widening their gap against the Cleveland Guardians. Right now, they have a 6.5-game lead over the Guardians. And then in the West, the Houston Astros have officially taken over the lead. They hold a half-game lead over the Seattle Mariners. And then the top three wild card teams right now in the American League are the Tampa Bay Rays, the Seattle Mariners, and the Toronto Blue Jays, with the Texas Rangers a half game out in the wild card. And then in the National League, in the National League East, the Atlanta Braves continue their stranglehold on that division with a 14-game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. In the National League Central right now, the Milwaukee Brewers are holding their slight edge over the Chicago Cubs with a 2-game lead. And then in the National League West, the Los Angeles Dodgers continue their dominance as well with a 13-game lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. And just a little bit of news with the Dodgers. While they are now dominating a little bit right now, unfortunately for them, one of their top pitchers, Julio Urias, he was arrested the other day for the second time for a domestic violence charge. He apparently was out in public manhandling his woman. So he was arrested and has now been put on leave. So he's definitely not going to be playing the rest of the season, regardless of what happens with the Dodgers. And quite frankly, good fucking riddance. This is the second time this has happened to this asshole. And so it sounds like it's a problem for him. And he shouldn't be playing baseball at all. So hopefully he goes the way of Trevor Bauer and is no longer welcome in the league. So we'll see what happens with that. It's a huge blow to the Dodgers because, like I said, he's a good starting pitcher, and he's been right there with Kershaw all season long. You know, Urias has had his injury issues to start the season, but once he got it going, he's been very solid for them. So we'll see if that affects them once the playoffs roll around. And then the top three teams right now in the National League wildcard spots are the Philadelphia Phillies, the Chicago Cubs, and the Arizona Diamondbacks, with the Miami Marlins and the Cincinnati Reds just a half game back. So it's pretty close, especially for those wild card matchups. And then, of course, the American League West is pretty close as well. But the playoffs are looking like they pretty much are set at this point. And then last but not least is we've got us a pretty good fight this weekend, UFC 293. We have middleweight champ Israel Adesanya, 24-2 record, taking on Sean Strickland, 27-5. Adesanya, he got his belt back in his last matchup a couple months ago. And I expect him to continue his dominance in the middleweight division against Strickland. Strickland is a good fighter, but I just kind of feel like Adesanya is just on another level. I feel like Adesanya is just a legendary UFC fighter up at this point. I mean, he's only got two losses, and to me, those two losses were, they weren't terrible losses, if you will, but a loss is a loss. But he did dominate in his last one. He looked like he was back to his old form. So I have a feeling he's going to go ahead and take out Sean Strickland in this one. I'm going to go with Adesanya. Let's see. I'm going to go with Adesanya. Knocks him out in the third round. So that's what I'm going to go with in the UFC 293 matchup for the weekend. So we got us a jam-packed full weekend full of sports, and it is so great that is finally football season, and it's only the beginning. So yes, it's great, and what a great way to start it off with the Detroit Lions just totally upsetting the Kansas City Chiefs like that. I mean, who would have thought? But it's only week one, and we have us many months of football to go. So, and then we also, of course, have college football, which I didn't even talk about today, but we do have some good matchups. My Texas Longhorns are going to Alabama this weekend, so we'll see if they're able to actually have a good game and get the win. I'm not going to hold my breath, though. I think they'll play a good game, but I don't know my confidence level on the win, but you know I'm going to be rooting for my motherfucking Longhorns. So enjoy the college football, the pro football, week one, the playoff push in baseball, and UFC 93. So enjoy the jam-packed weekend full of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.